want to know how to find it. Seek it out when they hide it. You know it's in the bag when it's an easy grab. But come on, take a chance now. So go, 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 geocache, geocache. And if you need help, we're right there in a flash. If you got a question, just call in and ask. Uncover the stash on the Geocaching Podcast. The Geocaching Podcast.
Welcome to the Geocaching Podcast, episode 392, recorded live on March 4th, 2015. I'm your host, Head Hard Hat With
Scott Burks
and Taz427.
You can join our chat room and watch our live video stream, plus participate with us as we record this episode. All this and more can be found at www.geocachingpodcast.com/live. Be sure to contact us via our voicemail line at 630-31-VOICE. And find us on Twitter at geocachingpodcast.com/Twitter and Facebook at geocachingpodcast.com/Facebook. This episode is sponsored by cache-advance.com for all your geocaching needs. Cache-advance.com. Go find it. Well, gentlemen, I'll tell you what. I have got the Google Plus jitters right now. It scares me every single time they start doing changes. Something happens. I'm very pleased to see that the episode, and I'm not going to jinx anything, even with the new graphics, even with the new stuff, I even see stuff in the toolbox that they've got little bits of changes and fonts and things, and it just
Hangouts. What has changed? I'm going to Google.com. I don't know what you are talking about.
Well, they got a whole bunch of stuff coming out. Google Plus is going bye-bye. Matter of fact, it's going to be now split into two separate things. Does this sound familiar for you? One of them is Google Streams.
No.
Which is going to be your, I'm assuming, all the stuff in Google Plus that reflects with articles and your favorite cat video and all the rest of that fun stuff. And then there's another one, and I think it's what, Google Views or something? Chad, do you remember? For the photographs?
I think they're something like that. I don't know. I glanced at it all, and I haven't really dug in to find out all the details yet. So
yeah, but you remember the last time, who was it? Was it Google that did that the last time they wanted to do a major change and split off photographs in one thing and articles in another?
Picasa, and then they kind of faded Picasa out and integrated into the Plus photos.
Right.
So
which one is that, Scott? Supper Club. Very nice. Is that an alcoholic beverage?
No, of course not.
Oh, shucks. Darn, I was hoping you were going to share. Anyway.
So the funny thing about Google, I've never been a big Google fan. None of my major stuff is Google, just because I think when you're a Mac user, you use Mac stuff. It's like, I think Google's more PC people use Google stuff.
I would think, but what do you use for your main social media besides Twitter?
Twitter and Facebook. Or is it Twitter? Twitter and Facebook.
See, Facebook, and I'm going to get razzed because I have blogs, I have pages, I've got all this stuff through the social media, the different shows that we do. I will tell you my feelings about Facebook. Facebook is the pig trough of the internet.
Yeah.
You can throw any slop you want and people are going to
Twitter is my main. That's where, you know, what happens is I have them linked. So whatever I put on Twitter winds up on my Facebook account, you know, and vice
right.
versa.
Yeah, me
but
too.
I rarely do I post to Facebook. Usually it's pictures of my kids, you know. Twitter is my
things.
Main. That's my main. Where I mainly do my social media.
Yeah, and it still is just as informative as it always is, because you can only do so much with 140 characters.
Yeah, exactly. It makes you have to think about it for a second. You
can't For Google, I've always liked it because it tended to be much more into photography and it tended to be much more into article stuff. I saw this cool article. Go check it out. Facebook. So anyways, that's my opinion. Please don't send any hate mail. I understand. For all the Facebook people that still think that American Online is the internet. I'm just saying.
Remember that? Oh, that was the best. It was the internet back in like 93.
It was the internet. Facebook, actually, Facebook to a lot of people is the internet. That's all they know.
It was
the
internet.
And that's fine.
I haven't used AOL doesn't... since 1991 playing Neverwinter Nights.
Yeah, I think I left AOL. I think in 94, 95. Yeah,
with my blooming speed, my 8088.
Right, your 120 modem.
With my turbo at 10 megahertz.
128. Yeah, AOL back when you know when I left AOL when they started like they actually you know how they because they used to have their own little rooms, their own little windows, you know.
Oh yeah,
okay. And then like they started actually like linking to the web. Like to the World Wide Web. Like, sorry for my dating myself there. But like, they actually started linking to like, you know, we actually open Netscape. Let's get really old here. You actually, open your Netscape browser, you know? And you go to the webpage and you're like, what's this? You know, like,
there's stuff other than out AOL? There. And it's not in a category. What is this?
Yep. Once I realized what the internet was, truly was, AOL was gone. Yeah,
that was awesome. Yep. Especially when you found out it was 90% porn.
And then you found porn.
We digress. Anyways, geocaching wise, let's see. Terrible weather in Michigan in North Kakalaki. We had some severe snowstorms come through. And a matter of fact, I put a picture out today on Google Plus and Facebook. And anyways, we still had snow and it was 70 degrees out. So
what? Wait, that just didn't make any sense.
Yeah, snow on the ground. The snow that was still piled up from the last snowstorm was melting away, but it was 70 degrees out.
Oh.
So, yeah. You don't see that in early March normally in North Kakalaki, at least not in the Piedmont.
Yeah, we're getting this weekend and all next week we're supposed to get high 40s.
Oh, yeah.
All this snow is going to melt, man. We got, you know, a crap ton of snow on the ground in Chicago. It's all going to be gone.
Flooding.
By Monday, it's going to be gone.
We're supposed to, well, today was in the 70s, but we're supposed to be high in the 40s tomorrow, we're going to freeze.
Wow.
Actually, literally, because we're going to hit the 31 overnight tomorrow night.
You covering your tulips?
Yeah.
No.
You know, I want to feel bad for you, dude. I really do.
We do.
Since he's been cutting grass for two hours of it hitting freezing? No.
I want to feel bad for you, Chad. I do.
Not much. But anyways, let's see. I didn't do a whole lot of geocaching, a couple of lunchtime geocaches. I did get two vlogs out, which is cool. So more good YouTube viewage for you fine folks. Scott, how about yourself?
Went out Friday night. I had the kids again. Finally, this coming weekend, it's the first weekend in 3 weekends I don't have the kids. So
wow.
But I did not have them Friday night, so Jesse and Shorty Nitz and I went out Friday night, and I got like 10 or so. It was cold. Awesome. It was, but like my car was reading -12.
Ooh,
yeah, negative. My car was reading -12.
And, it is a sucker to try to open a Nano with gloves.
And Jessie's like, "What are we doing out here?" I'm like, "You wanted to go." She's like, "I came out here because you wanted to go." I'm like, "Really?"
Oh man, no, thank you.
Yeah,
Taz, how about yourself?
I had a pretty busy weekend, so I didn't get out caching over the weekend, but I did go to a couple events, and also I put out a Pi puzzle cache to be published on Pi Day, put it on one fairly close to one of my favorited caches, trying to get the hits up on that one.
That's awesome. Good stuff. I anything and everything to get out to go geocaching. Is awesome. All right, let's move on to a podcast roundup, letting our viewers know what's going on in the geocaching podcasting community and what's coming up this week on Geo Gearheads. Daryl and the Bad Cop are doing episode 166, projectgc.com/2.
Ooh.
I love their system. The developer of Project GC returns to talk more about the web-based tool for geocachers and look at some of the awesome new features. Oh, I got to go check it out then. That sounds like
Jessie
fun.
Like you can get some... she swears by that program. Man,
oh, man, it's loves awesome. It. You want to find it. Any stat about anything.
Yeah, she loves it. Yeah.
Awesome. And also on the GeoSnippets Reboot podcast tomorrow, we're going to be doing our March 2015 Mishmash episode. We got some interesting subjects. You're gonna have to come and check it out. We're going to do a unboxing of Cache Dash Advance and their new they've got a monthly way now of getting goodies from Cache Dash Advance, like a treasure chest.
Oh, like the old crate.
I haven't opened it yet.
Yeah,
a little crate. It's great. We're going to do an unboxing tomorrow. We haven't opened it. It is driving wife Amy completely insane to see what's inside. So we'll find out together tomorrow on GeoSnippets Reboot Podcast.
Yeah.
All right.
How did that become a craze? I mean, God bless him. I mean, but like so many people are doing it now. It's like suddenly like the Loot Crate is like huge. Like, like pay us $20 and we'll ship you crap every month.
And people love it. They absolutely love it.
Oh my
yes,
God.
I've ordered one myself.
Love it.
I love. Do you see behind me? Come on.
Yeah, hey man, I totally cash grade. Go for it, man. I wish I can't afford. What is that? $20 a month or something like that, right?
Yeah. Okay, just to show you, since we're talking about pie, there it is. The one, the only. This is from coinsandpins.com. This is the Pi coin that's going out on as a prize tomorrow. Shh, tell everybody.
You know, technically, saying. Lisa, since we are the
sponsor.
You are the sponsor of the show. We should be getting this stuff for free. We should be getting crash crates for free. We shouldn't have to be paying for this stuff.
We'll talk. Hey, we never did prizes before. If people want prizes on this show, I know another podcast that gives prizes every week.
Right.
That we could talk about it. So, Lisa, if you're listening,
I want a free subscription to Cash Crate. That's all I want. I don't give me crap about prizes.
I want stuff. Give me stuff. Love stuff. All right, let's move on to the geocaching question of the day. Geocaching question of the day.
Hey, cachers. I'm Lookout Lisa from Cache Advance, your host for the geocaching question of the day. Well, I've been caching since 2002, and I've been in the business of geocaching since 2005. Monday through Thursdays, we ask our followers on Twitter, Facebook, and Google+ a question about geocaching.
We recently asked, how many puzzle or unknown caches have you found, and what is this percent of your total finds? Well, after tallying all the answers, we found the average for puzzle caches is 9.7% of a cacher's total finds. So here's what we heard. Well, Chad on Facebook shared 229, which is 12.7%, but that will spike to over 300 between now and Pi Day as we're doing a couple puzzle series runs. Well, fun. Well, the Boxman crew shared 1,288 puzzles found, or 21.52%, as they are some of their favorites. Wow, definitely so. Well, Terry on Google+ is new to geocaching and shared 0%, hoping to find my first one on Pi Day. I've only found 21 caches so far. Well, good luck, Terry. You're going to have a fun time on Pi Day. Well, Callahan Matt on Twitter shared 64, or 2.62%, but hopefully more now that I have the How to Puzzle Cache book. Well, you know, Callahan Matt, I hear that's a really good book, and I should probably be checking it out myself. So, for those wondering, I found 429 puzzles for 5.58% of my total. I'm a bit behind on my logging, but this really shouldn't change too much once I'm all caught up. So, you know, I think it's time for me to get my thinking cap back on. Well, as always, we've really enjoyed hearing about puzzle caches, and you can too. If you follow us, Cache Advance, on Facebook, Twitter, and Google+, for the geocaching question of the day. Thanks all, and happy puzzling.
Thank you, Lisa. Good stuff. You know, I think just like multis and everything else, I would be curious to see if her numbers is worldwide, because you know over in Europe it's got to be higher than that. It's got to be a higher percent.
Probably, yeah. Well, they do a lot more puzzles out there.
Oh, yeah, they love them. Multicaches and puzzles is like...
Well, multicaches,
like, you know,
that's all they have. I don't think they have regulars out in Europe, do they?
I mentioned they got a few, but that's definitely a main staple.
those are frowned upon like nanos here.
yeah, nanos in the woods. We love them.
Those like you put out a regular, land. What's your problem? A regular? Ugh.
Yeah, I tell you.
One stage? You're making me go to one stage? Really?
Really? Come on! If I can't spend $500 in gas,
if I can't ride 8 miles, why am I doing the cache?
It's right. It's the adventure. And that's our story. We're sticking with it. All right, moving on. Geocaching Podcast, episode 392, March 2015. Cache Your Coffee. And just like we normally do on a Cache Your Coffee day, basically the hosts go out and they pick whatever subjects that they'd like to talk about, usually geocaching related. And then we pretty much discuss whatever we can during the allotted time. The one that I picked out tonight deals with... a gentleman, if you haven't read the article, and this kind of ties into two different things that I want to get across with this particular one. One is the title of it, Geocaching Puts Port Colborne Man in Tight Spot. The other one is not too long ago, I think it was mentioned on Podcatcher last week, there was a geocacher who unfortunately died, I think it was in Arizona, if I remember correctly. I could be wrong, out geocaching. And it seems for some reason...
Is that the one that fell off the bridge?
I don't know if he... I think it was. He fell off the bridge and passed away in the underpass.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So the main point that I want to talk about this tonight is, guys and gals, use some common sense when you're out geocaching. And this is some of the stuff that I'll read the part of the article for Geocaching Puts Port Colborne Man in Tight Spot. And we've got some background information that went with this as well. And all the links will be in the show notes on the geocachingpodcast.com website.
I thought you were going to say background music. I was getting excited.
That would have been interesting.
Here you go.
I wouldn't have anything appropriate. I wouldn't have anything appropriate. Okay. Police and fire crews spent a few hours yesterday, and I want to figure this out, spent a few hours yesterday trying to get a 47-year-old man out of a 10-meter-deep well. Now, if I remember correctly, a meter is 3 feet. That's 30 feet.
That's a deep well.
That's a deep hole. Dan O'Hara was on a treasure hunt looking for a geocache, an online hunt for a hidden box that involves using GPS coordinates. I love, never mind. Anyways.
Hidden boxes, you could say. Go ahead.
Hidden boxes, those are the ones. At least they didn't use the word buried.
Wait, hold on. He fell down the well. He's doing my cache.
Yes, he did.
Remember I brought that cache up a couple weeks ago?
Yes,
the well
he took it literally.
He's doing my well cache.
Wow. O'Hare and his family were searching. At least he wasn't alone. And that's what we're going to get at tonight. You're getting the finger. O'Hare and his family were searching in Thorold near the Welland Canal. And I think DeBear actually was near this one time, too. I don't know if he found this cache, but he found nearby, and he mentioned it earlier. When he fell into a drainage hole near the wall of an old lock. It took about a dozen firefighters and paramedics over 3 hours to pull O'Hare out. Fortunately, he wasn't injured. Last year, a geocache prompted a bomb scare in Niagara Falls. Police called in after a suspicious package was found in the parking lot of the Tourist Information Center on Highway 20 in Stanley Avenue. Turned out it was part of an online treasure hunt using GPS coordinates.
I think I found that cache.
I think it could be. And the other one was, of course, the banana exploits.
A banana and a pine tree.
Oh my God, the terrorists are trying to kill us.
Well, I'm reading G-Man San in the chat room says it was Sweden where the guy fell off the bridge.
Okay.
And it was. He was there for soccer. There was some kind of soccer thing going on there at the time, wasn't it? What?
Something.
One more time. Oh, skiing. Sorry, Jesse says skiing. She's screaming at me, skiing from downstairs. So, yeah, that's right. Because I heard about it on OBEEP. They were talking about it, and so they were there for some skiing or something like that.
Yeah, my whole point with this is, folks, not only when you're going out geocaching, one of the first things you should do besides poke it with a stick is to tell others you're going somewhere.
Yes.
If you're going by yourself, please tell others. There are apps now. Glimpse is gorgeous. You push a button, it automatically tells your coordinates, sends it to whoever you want, and they know where you're at mm-hmm. any given time. When I'm traveling, when I'm driving my car from North Carolina to Michigan, I use that every once in a while just so people know, okay, he got this far if something happens. Mm-hmm. Please.
At the very least, log on the fly.
Yes.
So at least I know your last place you were.
Exactly. I mean, if you're okay, when like me, my little adventure, you know, a mile into the woods in West Virginia and realizing I'm a mile in the woods of West Virginia. Nobody knows I'm here.
Like, you'll die if you break something.
Yes, or a stick in the eye, or you name it. I mean, come on. Bite. You can get hurt. Or have a tree fall on you like some other people.
Oh, God, is that the worst way to go? Come on.
I'm telling you. So the idea is be safe out there.
Absolutely. And you should absolutely be if you're going into the woods by yourself, you know, and I don't recommend it, but hey, we've all done it. I do it all the time. Just let somebody know you're going out. Just don't like, even if you're going at 6 in the morning, shoot somebody an email and just say like, hey, you know, just let you know I'm going out caching today and I'm going to be in these woods. Maybe these woods as well. You know.
And you got a smartphone. Put a map on there that your family can locate it, even if your wife might be technically challenged to be able to use the app. At least you have it on there, and she can try and she can get my son to figure it out for her. So
because there's an SOS feature on Glimpse.
Right.
Where if you manage to push the button, it'll send out
You
can program up to like 4 or 5 people to send this thing.
Remember that cashier died a couple of years ago? He went out for an FTF run, and I think he fell off a cliff or something.
Desert thing, I think.
Yeah, he didn't tell his wife he was going. Like, he didn't tell anybody he was going. So, like, and the cops couldn't find him, so the whole community went out and looked for him, and they found him. You know, the other ones who found him. But, like that's all he had to do. If he would have said to his wife, I'm going out for this FTF, or, you know, or something along those lines.
If I'm not back in an hour.
Right, that whole days of looking for him would have never happened.
Yeah, so please be careful out there. And now, Chad and I were talking about this just before we came on the show. The interesting thing is this gentleman was ticketed. And I don't remember the exact.
Wait, is this the well guy? I'm assuming not the dead guy.
The well guy.
The
other guy did that.
Yeah, the other guy. They could have ticketed him, but you know,
he was ticketed for trespassing because it's the canal's property, and there's even though there is no signage posted regarding trespassing, and people regularly walk the properties, the cash itself, the property is private property, and they did ticket it for him, and it was trespass. But the cash description page indicates that during the winter months, it is legal to access the property. During non-winter months, it's not legal.
Well, when did he do it?
You know, that right there should have raised a red flag, in my opinion.
Well, it's winter months right now, so it's legal.
Yeah, well, actually, it's not. They just put it in the log.
They just put it in the log.
Oh, yeah. What?
Yeah, so when you're putting out
from
2 to 4,
it's perfectly okay to go. But after 2, if it's not 2 to 4, you can't go. Really?
Yeah, so the whole kicker is this. Make sure you get your facts right when you place a cash.
Exactly.
I mean, there's no problem with making extreme caches. That's part of the fun of geocaching, is to have areas that, for the people who can do it, have technically dangerous type situations when you're out geocaching, but you tell them that it's dangerous and what to look out for that. But for God's sake, please make sure if you're going to go anywhere near an area that's considered trespassing. And I've had geocaches in the past where, well, the border's right here. You just walk on this other guy's property and you're technically not trespassing here. Right. No, you're trespassing on the other guy's property.
I do
be
that.
Careful of what you do and how you say it.
I'm guilty of that. Yeah, I'm like, just come on, just curb it. Get right on the edge. Right on the
just kind of go around.
Just
it's
on
fine.
The on the edge.
Yeah. And if you hear shots, you're in the south.
Yeah, run.
You know. Yeah. So anyways, I'm going to get off my high horse with this, but please tell people, make sure you're safe. And it's always good to go with at least a buddy in a case like this. So if something does happen, somebody can get back, because you never know what's going to happen.
Yeah, especially when you're coming across a cache that's got high terrain or high difficulty, let it go. And you're by yourself, just let it go. Come back.
Yeah.
It's not worth climbing 30 feet up a tree by yourself. You know, it's just not worth it.
Gee, what could happen?
Oh my God, it's just so not worth it. Yeah. Agreed.
Especially a person my size. You imagine a 300-some-odd-pound fat man hanging from a tree. I mean, come on.
It's just
not a pretty
sight.
You're
just going to hurt yourself.
Yes, exactly. All right. Taz, you got something here that we can talk about?
Yeah. One of the things that is coming up recently is basically the, I guess, the promotional techniques that Groundspeak's using here. And this is the first that I'm aware of a sponsored lab cache.
Really?
Yes, at the Houston Life. Now, there might be other sponsored lab caches. I know there's kind of like locally sponsored when you have events in town and you go to the local businesses and they kind of put a sign out with their kind of stuff. That's kind of a little local sponsor. But this is one where it's not an associated caching event. But it's actually at the Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo. NRG, which is formerly Reliant Energy. It's the power utility here in the Houston area, which has basically taken over NRG Park for the month of March. So the Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo, that is, takes over the park for the month of March, is sponsoring 5 lab caches and giving out a geocoin for those who complete all 5 of them. You know, I think this is, you know, a bit interesting, but it's not associated with a caching event. Like other lab caches in the past have been.
Yeah, any mega usually now has form of lab.
How can they do that? Well. They have to go through Groundspeak, don't they?
It is through Groundspeak, so. They did work apparently a deal out with Groundspeak, and the link, www.nrg.com/rodeo, redirects the person to one of the live cache pages, Groundspeak's live cache pages, where you can download the GPX, and it has the locations, all the stuff. And it was done in conjunction with one of our local cachers here, Corndoll. I know her and her husband, you know, great cachers and stuff. And, you know, I think it's a great idea overall, but I'm also thinking, what are the impacts of it, of commercialization of this type of activity? You know, are we getting too many undedicated cachers into it with the completely free app? The people are coming in here recently. Within the last week, we've had a person with 2 cache finds. Mark a needs archived on a cache, a local cache, that because he couldn't find it, the cache owner went out there and found it, of course, in a perfectly fine condition.
That's a whole nother
right.
That's a whole nother conversation.
And had a cacher some of the complaints here on our local forum. There's cachers that are actually posting logs, found it logs with blank. Nothing in there. So that, there's some apps.
That's from the app. Yeah, that's from the app.
The app's allowing it to post blank logs.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, it's not even a TFTC. So with these individuals coming in that aren't invested and aren't going through and reading and figuring out, okay, what are the social etiquettes of this? You know, what are the do's and don'ts? You know, why would I put a needs archive? Why would I put a needs maintenance? Why would I, you know, go in here and do the other things besides found it, did not find? And it's, you know, it's, you know, I think part of it is education. We need to get these individuals educated, but they are making it.
The app needs to take responsibility too, though.
Yeah, Groundspeak's making it so easy to get into it for individuals who, I guess, you know, they're fly-by-night cachers for the most part. You know, hopefully some of them will get hooked, get brought in, but it's also kind of impacting the rest of us.
Yeah. When you figure, and I got this straight from Groundspeak, if you figure half of the geocachers out there, the average number of geocaches found out of all that are recorded as a geocacher, the lifespan of the number of geocaches they find are 8.
Really?
8 geocaches. For half the total population, 8 or less.
Wow.
So you figure that many people that are coming in saying, oh, geocaching, let me get this a try, and they go at it without any information on it, where before you had to do your research, you had to, you know, get your GPS out, you had to put an investment of time to learn what you're doing. And now it's just boom, boom, boom. I'm going to go find me a geocache and have absolutely no concept
minutes.
Of what they're doing.
Yeah, up and running in 5 minutes and looking for a cache. Sure.
Yeah, one of the things that I'm trying to do right now, and I got to get the schedule in place to do at least one a week, is quick tips. And my way of doing this is to put out literally 2 minute videos of just hitting those each one of those key points. And there's so many of them. And try to get that out that way, because most of those types of people, and I don't try to categorize, but I'm just saying, people that just want the quick fix and the quick hide and the quick whatever, all they got an attention span for is a couple minutes, if that. Mm-hmm. Right. So to go out and try to get these newer audiences in very quick bursts and try to get them the information to say, hey, this is the right way to do it. Hopefully that'll help, but they're going to need a lot more than that.
Yeah, it's and I've said it before where it's like, Just get them a social media with a YouTube channel and just giving instructions and basic, you know, none of that little cartoony stuff. Just give basic instructions.
No, just show them.
It's, I mean, come on. I mean, and like I said before, I even said before, like, have cashers do it. We'd be more than happy to do it for you for free, no charge. You know, like let cashers with, you know, 20,000 fines do it. You know, or something. You know, or something like that. You know, it's such an easy thing to do. It seems like a no brainer. To me, to do that, you know, and this
it's a gaping hole in the process. It really is,
and I don't understand why. I don't understand why they're not doing it, because especially with the huge influx of new people that are coming on board with the app and whatnot, it seems like a no brainer. You know, I mean, you could link those videos in the app directly in the app.
Yes,
you know, like, I mean,
or at least, you know, if the first time that they're doing a needs archive,
trigger something. How about a trigger? Yeah. How about a little trigger? Like
make sure that they read and say, do you understand that?
Right.
You know, this means that you basically know that the cache hasn't been, you know, hasn't been there for a long time and that the cacher's given up. Mm-hmm. You know, something like that.
Yeah.
But, you know, I get miffed when they do a needs maintenance. On one, and
I couldn't find it, so obviously it's not there.
And I know darn well it's there. And but this guy did a, you know, needs archived, and it had one DNF before that by a person that had 42 fines.
whenever I see a DNF, if I'm in the car with Jessie and she's looking on her phone, she's like, oh, it just got DNF'd like a little while ago. I'm like, how many fines? Immediately, I'm like, how many fines this guy had?
Oh, yeah.
Exactly. You know, anything under 100?
Oh, anything under 1,000. 100? Well, under 1,000.
Yeah. Okay, it depends on the DT. Yeah.
I mean, that's
now, getting back to what you were saying, Chad, with this, with commercialization, I can see good points. I can see bad points. And to be able to put, I'm really kind of curious to find out how they were able to work this without a mega event or some kind of major event.
That's,
to just put out lab caches.
Well, they've done it. I mean, they did it for that movie. They did it. Well, I guess that, unless you consider that an event, you know, that alien movie they did last summer. They put out the lab. Just remember to put out the lab caches for that in certain cities.
Wasn't it Prometheus or one of them? I can't remember.
No, it was what was it? Come on, somebody in the chat rooms, help me out. it was you know what I'm talking about, that kid alien movie, like, you know, that like this generation's ET was touted as being it turned out it stunk, you know.
Okay. I'm not familiar with that movie, so
I can't remember.
But curiosity wise, would it be, not necessarily to get away from the commercialization part of it, but just to be able, for whatever reason, to put out a lab cache or a couple of series of lab caches for 30 days, temporary caches, if they didn't have that go bad, would that be a bad thing? Would that be a, you know, something that would go out of control?
Yeah, I think overall it's a good thing. And, you know, I know Jamie, who's Corndoll, personally, and I've chatted with her a little bit about this online. I'll have to talk to her more in person the next time. I think I'll see her at the TX Challenge. I'm sure she actually worked with NRG to get this promotion in place, but I don't know all the details behind it. You know, she does promotions and stuff for companies, and they contacted her, and then she got with Groundspeak. It wasn't the company going directly to Groundspeak. So, but I'll try to get more details on that. But you know, it's kind of interesting the way they did it.
Yeah,
and I'm glad they're doing it because I'll get a geocoin out of it. ordered a print of 1,000 geocoins.
Yeah.
I'm looking in
now,
the.
See that, if it's something special like that, I would love. I really don't see a problem of having a month, 30 days to do something special where it's kind of like a special geo trail or a special set of those type of lab caches where it's really well done and there's a lot of thought put into it and it's more than just a couple of containers they just threw out to call them that.
Right.
Yeah, right. Because lab caches have a lot of thought process. Yeah,
absolutely. Gundark 2000, the set Earth to Echo was the name of the movie, and he's correct. The Earth to Echo movie. It was last year. You guys, they didn't have it in Texas or in North Carolina? They didn't put any lab caches out there in any of those two states?
I didn't see any. I don't think so. And I'm pretty sure I would have heard about it.
You got to be in the big cities. That's where you got to live.
Raleigh's big. We've got four stories.
Houston's the
we've got a Walmart
largest in the U.S. I mean, that's big.
We got a Food Lion. Come on. So I can see some cool things for special leaves. You know, a special trail for a geocoin. Something that's worth calling it a lab.
It just seems weird that something so obscure would get lab caches.
Yeah, just throwing it out there.
This is it's been reported as being pretty good from the people that have gone out and found it. It just activated on Tuesday because that's when the Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo officially started.
Yeah, like why would that get a lab cache? That's just
but
obscure.
There's you know there's five of them there in the park and it takes you around to different parts around it. Yeah, the NRG Park is really NRG Stadium and the. Astrodome and all that stuff, you know, where the Texans play. The rodeo has kind of like a carnival and stuff in there with it. It's almost like a state fair type atmosphere that goes on for about a month.
You know what would work with this, seriously, if you had 30 days, 60 days to do a lab cache and do it right, state parks. They usually have a very, very defined amount of time that the campers can get there, and they have
like
a,
national
have a one month
or
a 2 month one.
National
state parks,
state
national. We're still working on. We got to get geocaches in national.
Yeah,
parks,
I was gonna say there's no. Well, that's the way to do it. Is you put labs in there.
Yeah, in but same thing. You have it for ones that don't want to put it out year round because they're worried about certain areas getting hurt.
Right.
You put out a series of a handful of them someplace and make that a feature event. Mm-hmm. That I could see.
No, yeah,
interesting stuff.
So really quickly before we close out, I want to give mine. I didn't write it down on the show notes.
Yeah, go ahead.
So something's been grinding my gears lately.
I've been waiting.
That happens, but let me know if this. I mean, let me preface this by saying everybody plays the game they want to play it. I don't judge anybody. You know, we're all going to play the game how we want to play it. That being said, couples who play under the same name get under my skin. Teams.
Really?
Yeah.
What bugs you about it?
Because you see, they get excited because they got high numbers, and yet one's cashing while the other one's working. Or I've actually caught a couple cashing apart. I mean, that completely double dipping is what I consider that. You know, like you're double dipping.
That's a good point. That's interesting. You know?
But like a couple who goes out and like, hey, we got 200. It's like, no, dude, she got 200. You got nothing today. You know, you went to work. She got 200.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of stuff. Like, not granted, I know a couple, I know teams that all only cash together, you know, and I respect them for that. And I know couples who have their different accounts, who are married with different accounts, and they're like six caches off. Or I know a couple that they're the exact same, but they have two separate accounts. But it's the couples that cash together under the same name, but I catch them either cashing solo or caching together but not together, like they're both caching. Like there's a couple who one was doing the ET highway and his wife was in Chicago caching while he was doing the ET highway.
Oh jeez.
We had a cacher at our event on Monday that her and her husband flew to Houston and then they split apart one went to our event, one went to Beaumont for another event because they needed to get their events up to do this 2015 challenge up in the Dallas area. So, sorry if I busted your team pump, Jack. But
yeah,
I was just curious about your thought, you guys' thoughts on that.
You know. I absolutely agree with you, Scott. It's leapfrogging and that type of thing. Because now, see, I know couples. I know one of the couples that has been around with geocaching since the beginning. They've got tens and tens of thousands of geocache finds together.
Mm-hmm.
They've completely been a team,
right.
Geocaching together.
And I know teams like that as well. Absolutely.
Yes. Absolutely. And I all the credit in the world for them. But for the ones that use it to duplify their finds because they're a team, that's just two. How many people sit there and say, well, we're a family? Split up, folks.
But yeah, I mean, caching at the same time apart?
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
And I guess it's going to always fall under that, well, nobody gets hurt by them.
Right. And then, like I said, it's just a game. That's why I preface it with, everybody caches their own way. It's just a game. Nobody really cares. But, you know.
Yeah, but don't be blowing stats at me when we know darn well.
Thank you. Exactly. Don't be wearing, you know, your patches of like 10,000 fines on your coat when, you know, you only got 8, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-mm-mm. Yeah, because exactly. There's plenty of legitimate ones out there and more power to you, but.
Sorry, had to get that one off my chest. I apologize.
That's a good one, Scott. Hey, if you don't, you know, you that vein pops out.
It eats right here.
All right. Okay, time to wrap up the show. Good show. Good cash and coffee. I love this. Folks, if you don't mind, if you stop off by to the geocachingpodcast.com website, and on the right-hand side is our donate to the PayPal for us. If you got a few bucks, we sure would appreciate it. Every penny counts, and I'll tell you what, when the bills start adding up at the different parts of the year, we appreciate any donations you have so we can keep the lights on. I'm just saying. Also, if you would, please tell other geocachers about the Geocaching Podcast. Let them come in and get all the great information that we provide to you each and every week. All right. I think it's about time to wrap this puppy up. Let's go. We'd like to thank you fine folks for subscribing to the Geocaching Podcast. We'd like to say thank you to Lisa from Cache-Advance for all you do. Look us up about that treasure chest stuff.
Right?
I'm just saying.
Free
just
crates.
Check it out.
Free crates.
We'd love it. We'll give it away as prizes.
We will mostly. Open them up. We will. Oh, my God.
We will show all the wares.
I will pimp you out on social media. Oh, my God.
There you go.
Ridiculous.
See? I'm just saying. All right. Please be sure to join us each and every Wednesday at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time for another episode of the Geocaching Podcast. Right here on the Geocaching Podcast website at www.geocachingpodcast.com/live. The video version of our show is available on YouTube, and the audio version is available on our home website, iTunes, Stitcher, and many of your favorite podcatchers. We love hearing from our viewers and listeners, so please visit us through our social media sites or contact us via our voicemail line at 630-31-VOICE. Geocaching Podcast is a Head Hard Hat production and is produced by Andy Smith, Scott Burks, Corey Stevens, and Chad Cartney. This show is copyright 2015 by Andrew T. Smith. All rights reserved.